Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 23. 8 to 10 year olds are dismissed if you'd like to go to your class. This is the last passage in Isaiah that really can be kind of difficult in terms of geography. Where are things? Why are we told about this place, that place? It's been a little bit of a challenge from chapter 13 through today's passage 23 to know kind of the geography of everything. Thank the Lord for the maps in the back of your Bible. And the geography does tell a story. After this week, it gets a little bit easier. So if you found it difficult to kind of stay up with, okay, I got it, we're talking about this region, but then why is he talking about this place way over here all of a sudden? Hopefully I've been able to communicate a little bit of that to you, but after this week it gets a little bit easier, and I think you'll continue to enjoy this book and see what great things are in store. I'm very excited for the coming weeks in Isaiah. For now, Isaiah chapter 23, I've entitled this message, Seduced by Money. And I'll read the entire chapter. This is about Tyre, primarily, T-Y-R-E. And just heads up, when you think of Tyre, think of kind of the commercial center of the world. When you think of Tyre, it's a representation throughout the scriptures of money, the world's money flowing in and out. So when you think of Tyre, think of Silicon Valley, think of the oil markets in the Middle East and South America, think of the banking institutions of New York and London. Think money, economy, money moving, power, wealth. Think that when you think Tyre. Isaiah chapter 23, the oracle concerning Tyre. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, because Tyre is laid waste, without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus it's revealed to them. Be still, O inhabitants of the coast. The merchants of Sidon who crossed the sea have filled you. And on many waters, your revenue was the grain of Shihor, the harvest of the Nile. You were the merchant of the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither labored nor given birth, and neither reared young men nor brought up young women. When the report comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish over the report about Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish, wail, O inhabitants of the coast. Is this your exultant city whose origin is from days of old, whose feet carried her to settle far away? Who has purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth? The Lord of hosts has purposed it, to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. Cross over your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no restraint anymore. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken the kingdoms. The Lord has given command concerning Canaan to destroy its strongholds. And he said, you will no more exult, O oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, cross over to Cyprus. Even there you will have no rest. Look, the land of the Chaldeans, this is the people that was not. Assyria destined it for wild beasts. They erected their siege towers. They stripped her palaces bare. They made her a ruin. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is laid waste. In that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the prostitute. Take a harp, go about the city, O forgotten prostitute. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that you may be remembered. At the end of 70 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return her wages to her wages and will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Her merchandise and her wages will be holy to the Lord. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before the Lord. Again, seduced by money. The accumulation of money is something that needs to happen if we're going to survive. We've got to be able to take money in. So we work, and with work comes wages, and with wages we can buy food, clothing, housing. But just like Judah often looked to other people's or other nations' idols, their militaries, God's people can be tempted to put too much hope in the world's economy. Thus, Isaiah 23 is written and preserved for us today. We can be seduced into becoming fixated and anxious about money without resting in the provision of God who controls the flow of money in every place. In fact, sometimes you even hear a term that's really a funny term when you think about it biblically. You hear people marketing their services to even Christians, telling Christians that if you follow my budget plan, follow my investment strategy, you can have, here are the words, financial independence. There's no such thing as financial independence. None whatsoever. God is in control of everything. It is God who gives us the power to make wealth, obtain wealth. It's God who gives, it's God who takes away. We are so utterly dependent on God for our finances. So don't be seduced by what the world has to offer. God's people are always dependent on Him. And that's good, because God is for His people. And so here in Isaiah 23, we're told again of another Gentile nation, Gentile place, Gentile port city here, Tyre, who is being rebuked by God for her pompous pride. She's proud of her industry. She's proud of her finances. She's proud of how she feeds the world and receives from the world. We see that in verse 9, the pompous pride of all glory. So, we're told of God rebuking a foreign city, but again, this book is written for the people of God to learn from. So God wants His people to look at the world financial system and to see it's in God's hands, and God will care for His people. That's what He wants us to get. Isaiah 23 is written to remind the reader that God is in control of the economies of the world, and He will see to it that His people are provided for. So for outline, we'll do it in 2 points. Here's the title, Don't Be Seduced, 2 reminders about God's oversight of the world economy. The first reminder is this, God is in control of people's wealth. And when I say people, I mean every person throughout history. God is in control of every person's wealth. God can bring nations down, their wealth to an end. He can allow them to flourish in resources. He can do whatever He wants, and He does whatever He wants for His purposes. Bring that down to even a personal level. God is the one that controls every last penny in our bank account or not in our bank account. He controls it all. He's in charge, and that's very clear from verses 1 to 14. In 1 to 14, we learn about Tyre and we see how God tears it down financially. This once thriving port city, which fed everybody, which received goods and services from other people as they traded, that this powerful port city is actually brought to its knees because of its pompous pride. And so we see in that God's control over all of it. No one is too rich to sidestep God. No one's too wealthy to be totally secure apart from God. Verse 1, the oracle concerning Tyre. Just a little, some facts about Tyre, just to kind of get us going, help us understand this. Tyre was near its sister city, Sidon. You'll see that in the passage as well. So Tyre to the north, Sidon just below it. They're on the banks of the Mediterranean Sea. This is just above Judah and Israel. So they're very close to God's land, the land where God's people dwell. They're just north of that. And so Tyre and Sidon had ships coming in and out of them all the time, heading west, heading south, going and trading with the world. They were very powerful. So Tidon was a pagan commercial city. It's in an area called Phoenicia. Tyre is a place that really allowed much of the known world that time to be prosperous. Again, things flowed in and out of Tyre. Tyre had an advantage. Tyre was in an area where it was hard to invade. So you had the sea on their west, you had some hills on the north and the south, and then a pretty large mountain range to the east. And so it was hard to even invade Tyre. So they were pretty secure, and they controlled a lot of the world's economy. But we've been talking about this pretty powerful group of people throughout the first part of the book of Isaiah, Assyria. And they're pretty powerful. And they can find ways to get at Tyre, and they did. Especially around 700 BC, Assyria came and invaded Tyre. That's why later on, the passage will point us over to Babylon, and it'll say, look, Tyre, go look at Babylon. That's a pretty strong city. Look what Assyria has done to them. So don't think that you're unable to be invaded. We know from world history, Assyria eventually invaded Tyre. Babylon would eventually have their way with Tyre. The Persians and the Greeks would eventually have their way with Tyre. And this is the warning. Why did Tyre fall? Again, because of their pride when it came to all of their resources and their money. So that's a little bit about Tyre. The oracle concerning Tyre, wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is laid waste without house or harbor. Tarshish is way west of Tyre. So why are we learning about the ships that come from Tarshish? Because they would travel to Tyre, bring their goods to Tyre to have them spread out, or to receive goods from Tyre and bring them back to the benefit of their people. But the problem is, Tyre's being torn down, so Isaiah's kind of calling out to the west near Spain, hey Tarshish, you better weep and mourn. The money that you've been making, that you've been swimming in, that you've been enjoying, that's coming to an end because Tyre is being torn down, thrown down. From the land of Cyprus, it's revealed to them, the ships, I'm doing it this way, but I got to do it backwards for you. The ships would come from the west to the east, and they would come and they would stop at Cyprus before they'd come all the way to Tyre. And so this is the merchants, the traders, the sailors coming on their ships, stopping in Cyprus, and there's this buzz at the ports of Cyprus. Hey, I know you had plans to bring all your goods over to Tyre. Scrap those plans. You can't go and sell them over there. You can't deliver them. Tyre's thrown down. So they're even hearing the report at Cyprus. Tyre's being destroyed. Verse 2, be still, O inhabitants of the coast. Now these are the people in Tyre. Be still, O inhabitants of the coast. The merchants of Sidon who crossed the sea have filled you. You're used to having lots of people move about, buying, selling, delivering. It's not happening. Verse 3, and on many waters your revenue was the grain of Shihor, the harvest of the Nile. You were the merchant of nations. There would even be goods, grain coming from Egypt down south that would come to you. You were a merchant for the nations. Even that strong superpower, Egypt, was benefited by you. Verse 4, be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither labored nor given birth, I neither reared young men nor brought up young women. This is God showing the sea as if the sea is talking. See, beforehand, the sea would say, look at all my children, look at all my ships, look at all the resources, look at all the money, look at all our pride and power and wealth, look at all of this. Now, there are no ships. There's no buying and selling because the Lord's brought the economy of Tyre to her knees. And so the sea is saying, I don't need children. There's no life here. Verse 5, when the report comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish over the report about Tyre. Egypt's a superpower at this point. And they are in anguish because of how much they are going to lose because Tyre fell. Tyre matters in the world. If Tyre doesn't succeed, the world doesn't succeed financially. Even today, economies are intertwined, right? one strong, powerful nation falls, that's not necessarily good for the rest of the world. This is what's happening here. And God's in control of it all. That's the message. So people will leave Tyre and Sidon. They'll flee. They'll escape. They'll try to flee west. They'll try to head over to Tarshish themselves. Verse 6, cross over to Tarshish. Wail, O inhabitants of the coast. Is this your exultant city whose origin is from days of old, whose feet carried her to settle far away? What's that? God's kind of mocking Tyre. See, the people of Tyre used to take pride in how old they were as a city. We've been strong and financially able for a long time. We are ancient. And so he's saying, is this your ancient city who you've got to flee from? Where's their strength? You're on the run. Verse 8, who's doing this? Is this because the grain prices have gone up from Egypt? Are there human reasons that the economy of Tyre has fallen? Let's ask the experts on CNBC. Let's find out, why is this happening? Why is the downfall happening? Because God's doing this. Who's purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, the one who would honor merchants and honor businessmen with honors? Who's purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were honored of the earth? Here's the answer. The Lord of hosts has purposed it, to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. The Lord's done this. The Lord's ruined Tyre's economy and therefore affected the rest of the world's economy. The Lord's done this. Why would he do that? Again, because of Tyre's pompous pride. Verse 9. There's a risk at growing richer, isn't there? There's a risk at getting a raise, obtaining more. The risk is, look what my intelligence has done. Look what my schooling has done. Look what my ingenuity has done. Look how I've followed the right stock tips. Look at how I've. The only reason we have a penny in our pocket is because God is gracious. And Tyre doesn't understand that. The world today doesn't understand that. The scriptures teach that over and over and over again. But they don't get it. They're proud of what they have created, the wealth that they have provided for themselves and the rest of the world. This is pompous pride. So, the message to Tyre is, hey, why don't you look east? Look at Babylon. They're pretty strong, but guess what? They're being destroyed by Assyria. So why do you think you're secure, Tyre? The Assyrians are coming. Verse 13, behold, the land of the Chaldeans, land of Babylon. This is the people that was not. Assyria destined it for wild beasts. They erected siege towers. They stripped her palaces bare. They made her a ruin. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is laid waste. Assyria's demolished their strongholds. You better wail because they will demolish your strongholds in Tyre. So what do we learn from this? When it comes to money, don't be proud. Be humble. Know that God's in control of every market, every trade, every transaction, every raise, every demotion. He's in control of it all. The world's financial system is ordered by God. So don't trust in it. Don't put all your eggs in that basket. Do you fret over the fluctuations in the market, Christian? Do you fret over whether you'll be laid off? Do you fret when you go to the grocery store because of inflation? Is there a fretting? Is there a worry? Are there human ways that we try to solve those problems without looking beyond them and looking at God who controls all of that? Maybe a good prayer before going to Fry's is, Lord, you know why the inflation's happening. You've ordained this for some reason. Cause my heart to trust in you when bread is double the price. But you're my God. Help me to trust in you. This affects all of us. But it's good for us as children of God to see our Father's in control of all the price hikes, all the discounts, all the coupons, all of the supply of oil with OPEC. He's in control of all of it. He knows what he's doing, and he'll bring down the proud, and he'll also provide for his people. Listen to Ecclesiastes 5. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. He continues in Ecclesiastes 5, everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. So God gives us the ability to create wealth. He allows us to work and to obtain. He's the one that gives us that. And we're called not to love that wealth, but to simply enjoy the gifts that he's given us. He's given us this and not that, so enjoy the this. Don't fret about the that we don't have. So whether it's the stock market crash of 1929 or 1987, or the housing market challenges of 2007-08, or the inflation of 2023 and 24, God ordains it all. He knows what he's doing. Or if it's the prosperity of the 1920s or the prosperity of the 90s, he knows what he's doing. So when inflation rises or the job is threatened because of layoffs, can you rest your heart in him? I've got a negative example from my own life, which I don't love sharing because it makes me look bad. But I think it would be helpful for you. I remember first year in seminary, I was hired at a really low-level position at our church. It was a mega church. A lot of people worked there. Low-level position. This was 2007-08. So those months. And as the economy suffered, so did giving in the church, and so the jobs at my level were threatened at the church. And I remember the executive pastor kind of in passing let me know that, hey, your job's kind of iffy. Now, we were newly married, had basically nothing, didn't have much at all. And I remember hearing that. I'll never forget the day. I walked out of my little office, walked down the block from our church, got on the phone, and started making phone calls, fretting. I called this pastor and that leader and this person, and how can I stop this from happening? I remember where I was. I remember walking Cantera Street and Mary Ellen for over an hour talking to three different people, fretting about money. And this was just because of a passing comment. I remember later that night being so convicted about my lack of trusting the Lord. I was working at a church leading people. But yet I get one comment and I start becoming nervous. And I didn't go to prayer. I started making phone calls. I'll never forget that lesson. And oh, by the way, I haven't missed a meal since then. God has cared for us. But I think of that because it reminds me how quick I can stop trusting. He controls world economies, and he's for his people. We'll see that in a little bit. We can rest our hearts in his care when the news doesn't look so good. God has ordained all of these things. It's important for us to be weaned off of depending on the world, on market fluctuations, and to remember that we are God's people. So, Christian, we can be seduced in a couple of ways. When it comes to money, we can be seduced in a couple of ways. First, we can be seduced to constantly strive to get more and more. That's the world's aim. We can be seduced into going down that road. We can also be seduced on the other end, constantly worrying about what we don't have. there's kind of a seduction that wants more and more for to kind of build our wealth and have all of our enjoyment and have everything we want. But then there's also kind of the other side of the coin where we're worried about all that we don't have. And will I be able to eat or do this or pay for this? So there's kind of a couple ways we can start to be seduced into striving and worrying and fretting. In fact, Jesus taught early on in his ministry that sometimes people who look like his followers get so seduced by wealth, they end up rejecting his word and going after that. In Mark chapter 4, he told the parable of the soils, and the disciples didn't really know what that was about. Well, explain that to us. What do you mean by that parable? And so he teaches them, and he teaches them about certain types of people that kind of take in the word. I'm in. Yes, God's word. Yes, I listen to him. And then all of a sudden down the road, years later, months later, weeks later, they're gone. Where are they? And so disciples ask, help make sense of this for us. And Jesus said, there are some who are sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, and listen to this phrase, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. So there's this initial, I'm listening to the Lord. He's leading my life. What he says, I do. What he says, I believe. But then our eyes start to look at, I want this. And we start to strive and obtain this. And then all of a sudden, the word is choked out. Maybe it's because of time. I'm doing this on the weekends. I've got to pursue my thing here, my endeavor here to get more and more. I don't have time to go to work. I've got to go or to church. I've got to do this thing. Or maybe we step out of Bible studies or we step out of personal time taking in the word of God ourselves because our gaze is on obtaining and obtaining and obtaining. And Jesus warned about this. There's also kind of the opposite end, not just wanting more because we're so enamored and hungry for more pride and luxury, but there's also on the other side of the coin the fear that we won't have what we need. So forget about the wants, but there's kind of a fear that we won't have what we need. And Jesus taught about that also, didn't he? Therefore, I tell you. Now, as soon as I start reading this, I've heard this a million times. I memorized this in Sunday school 70 years ago in Odessa, Texas. Hear it as if you're hearing it for the first time. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. That title for God is important there, right? Your heavenly, in control, Father, your heavenly Father feeds even them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith, trust, dependence? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father, same title, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So what do I do then? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Take your gaze off of what you want, what you might not have. Put your gaze unto God's kingdom purposes, God's kingdom work. Put your gaze there. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You'll be taken care of in the end. And we'll see that in our passage in Isaiah 23. But there's a certain trust in the Lord, trust in our heavenly Father here. God is for his people, and God has promised to provide for his people. Let's take him at his word. Let's believe him. So trust in God's financial care of you. Believe him. Ask for what you need. Work hard. Our Lord teaches us that. Give generously. So deal with money how the Lord tells us to deal with money. And ultimately, trust that he will provide for our needs. There's a second reminder about God's oversight of the economy, and a second reminder that can kind of calm our hearts and keep us from seduction. It's this: God and his people will receive the world's wealth. God and his people, at the end of time, will be the recipients of the world's wealth. Think of human history and all the money that's flowed all through it. Think of all of that and think of it as one giant funnel. At the end, it all gets deposited to God and his people. That's what's going to happen with all wealth, all resources. We'll receive it all. The kingdom of God will ultimately be the recipient of the world's wealth. Verse 15, God says this about Tyre. In that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years like the days of one king. So again, Tyre has been prosperous, feeding everyone, receiving from other people. Tyre has been strong, proud, arrogant. In that day, Tyre will be forgotten. You'll walk down Tyre's Wall Street, and instead of people in suits buying and selling, you'll see kind of a ghost town. In that day, Tyre will look like that. And this is probably a prophecy about around 700 BC when Tyre was brought to its knees. Be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. In Psalm 90, 70 years is shorthand for kind of a lifespan. Some of you have gone beyond that. Good work. All right. But 70 years is kind of a lifespan type of term. So for about a generation, Tyre will be brought to its knees, is what it's saying. Well, it so happens that 70 years after 700 BC, 630 BC, Assyria kind of let loose of their grip on Tyre, and Tyre was again allowed to buy and sell freely again. It's probably what this is referring to. But even historically, the world economy at different times has been brought to its knees for different reasons, different stock market crashes, different downturns in the market. The world's been brought to its knees at different times, the Great Depression, things like that, and then it's kind of come back. There will be a final time, Revelation 17, 18, when the world's economy will finally come to an end, and all of those resources will end up going to God himself and his people, the new heavens and the new earth. So this is a little preview of that from 700 BC to 630 BC. At the end of 70 years, it'll happen to Tyre, as in the Song of the Prostitute. Take a harp, go about the city, O forgotten prostitute. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that you may be remembered. So Tyre is pictured, like, again, they're this wealthy financial center. They're pictured to be a prostitute. They will serve anybody who will pay them. And for 70 years, they don't have any customers. But then God will see to it that after 70 years, she'll be allowed to do her work again, to prostitute herself again. Verse 17, at the end of 70 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and he will return to her wages and will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. God will allow Tyre to again prostitute herself and receive her income. God will allow her to receive wealth again. Oh, great. That wealth will be used for evil purposes again. Well, not at the end of the age. Verse 18, her merchandise and her wages will be holy, set apart for the Lord. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for a particular group of people. Not the whole world. The whole world's not going to get to hoard these resources like they have been throughout human history. Now, all of her resources, her merchandise, will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before the Lord. That's the Lord's people. That's his followers. That's why at the end of the age, the nations, the world's wealth, will all flood to the Lord, and he will provide abundant food, fine clothing for his people. We have wealth coming to us, the new heavens, the new earth. That might trouble some of you. Yeah, I don't like rich people. I don't like myself when I get a lot of money. Well, that's because you're living in a cursed world with the temptations that come with that. But in the new heavens, the new earth, the more money you have, the better. Why? Because you will only use that to God's glory. And so there is a promise of future wealth for God's people. Listen to a couple of passages all throughout the scripture that point to this, that give little previews of this. In Exodus 12, remember when the people of Israel were released from captivity, freed from captivity from the Babylons, or from the Egyptians? Remember, Babylons aren't even a people. Babylonians are people, but I'm not talking about them, the Egyptians. When they were freed from captivity in Egypt, they didn't just kind of leave. They also obtained, before they left, the wealth from Egypt as they went off to the promised land. Exodus 12:35, the people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. Interesting. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. Exodus 12 is a little preview of the end of the age. The people of God receiving all that the world has constantly used for bad purposes will take all of that and will say, we'll use it rightly. That'll happen at the end of the age. 1 Kings 5, Hiram of Tyre, the king of Tyre, sent cedar trees and workers to Solomon to build the temple in Jerusalem. So Tyre's resources have already in the past been used for God's kingdom purposes. Isaiah 60, we'll get to that later, will show again wealth of the nations coming to God for his purposes. Revelation 21, 24 to 26, by its light, this is speaking of the new heavens and new earth, by its light the nations will walk, so the nations are walking in the new heavens and new earth. This has redeemed people now from the nations. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations. The world bringing its wealth to Jesus. Jesus giving abundant food for his people, giving fine clothing to his people. All coming from the world. Remember early on in Revelation, the angels and the elders and the multitude in heaven, Revelation chapter 5, are singing to the Lamb that was slain? And do you remember what they ascribed to him? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. Lord, you are powerful. We ascribe power to you. But do you remember what else we ascribe to him? Power and wealth. Lord, you deserve everything, is what we're saying. You deserve to be the object of all of our goods and services. You deserve to be the recipient of all the work that we do, all the ingenuity that we have. You deserve to be the one we praise with every car that we build and every software that we develop. You deserve to be, you're worthy of all of that. All of that should be given to you. Well, all of it will be given to him, and he will share it with all of his people. That's the kind of God that we serve. When you are God's child, you are cared for, and you've got an inheritance coming. And you will, with a soul that does not desire sin in any way anymore, and with a new glorified body, you will use everything you have in the new heavens and the new earth to bring him glory. And he will give abundantly to you. that should cause our hearts to be able to rest even now. My Father can care for me. My Father's told me He'll provide for what I need, and I will receive everything with Him one day. I can trust Him with my finances. So friends, don't be seduced. God oversees the world economy. God's in control of everybody's wealth. And God and His people will receive the wealth of the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank You not only for the fact that You're in charge and in control. Nothing on the news is a surprise to You. In fact, the news, the financial news, is simply reporting what You've ordained. So thank You for Your sovereignty in that regard. But Father, thank You also that You're our Father. The powerful One, You who controls everything, is also the One who aims good at us. You care for Your people. You provide for us. Father, collectively as a church, I want to say thank You for everything that You've given us. To every single adult here, any child, any family in this room, thank You for all that we have. May You allow us, even before the new heavens, the new earth, would You allow us to continue to give to Your kingdom purposes, to serve You, to steward the resources You've given us well for Your glory. You deserve that, Lord Jesus. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.